Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand with Dan Shaughnessy in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Red Sox have taken a 1-0 lead in the World Series. In 12 of the last 15 World Series, the team that has won Game 1 has won the series.
Well, there you go then.
So the Red Sox have that advantage already. And quite frankly, I'm not sure the Dodgers were ready for all of this. The bullpen is irritating Rick Honeycutt.
Why?
Pitching coach for the LA Dodgers.
What's the problem?
He is upset with the layout at Fenway Park. He has voiced his displeasure with the bullpens with Tom Verducci of SI.
Oh, did he do this yesterday or did he do this Sunday when Kershaw was having his little private workout?
This story was posted today after Game 1.
So not before Game 1. He didn't have a problem before Game 1.
Kershaw, according to, again, here's Tom Verducci writing that Clayton Kershaw had pitched 346 major league games in 29 ballparks, but never here at Fenway Park, where Babe Ruth once pitched. Neil Diamond is revered. Well,
hold on there,
Verducci.
Revered.
Pump the brakes, as Billy Lanny would say.
Bunch of homyonkles, right?
He says,
national people.
And the family histories of visiting players are openly discussed. Kershaw felt the full-on Fenway effect the minute he took to the bullpen mound to warm up for World Series game number one on Tuesday night. Brutal. Pretty brutal, said Dodgers pitching coach Rick Honeycutt, making his first trip to the Fens since 2010. Not much has changed. The rubber of the pitching mound in the visitor's bullpen is but 3 feet from the bleacher seats. Quote, what I don't understand is why baseball allows it. You've got the rubber right there and people literally standing over you. Verducci writes, welcome to Fenway Park, Mr. Kershaw. The bullpen welcoming committee was nothing compared to how the Red Sox hitters treated him. If you are to have any chance against the highest scoring team in baseball, you better bring crisp stuff to the mound and get airtight defense behind you. Neither happened with Kershaw, who was buried under an avalanche of hits and walks and a track meet around the bases. Brutal, pretty brutal. So went Kershaw's night, too. Rick Honeycutt doesn't like the bullpens.
Wow.
He's too close.
They're too personal?
They're too close.
Hearing
baseball needs to step in and build a wall. He's looking for... Honeycutt needs a wall built. That's what he needs. He
is
wants,
that out there by that Trump's wall, according
to Peter? He wants the bullpens moved.
What were they yelling at him?
Oh, I'm sure it was vile.
Matthew Stafford?
I'm sure it was vile.
Yeah, and
it was
I think he had the Kershaw
gorgeous.
Chance going, right?
Let me just tell you, last night, that crowd at Fenway, you were terrific.
You know great that, vibes.
You were terrific.
That made it feel like the World Series. That was not a 2013 crowd. That was more of the early 2000s type crowd.
Oh,
I mean, 13, you're kind of cruise control. Everybody's just
it was a good vibe.
The Kershaw chant, that gave me the tingles, my friend. That one gets me excited. Oh.
Kershaw, 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 Kershaw.
So good. That one got me going last night. So I'm like, whoop.
Those intimidating
That's
chants.
Like steroids, steroids.
Or, saying they were...
Daryl, Daryl. There's so many good old ones that they used to... Chanting
problem.
At Clemens.
It's a bullpen problem.
The bullpen is that they don't like warming up down there because there's guys in your face the whole time telling you how much you're going to suck tonight. That's what it is. And Kershaw wasn't ready for that. What the hell did he go to that bullpen for the other night? And we make this big deal about, look at him.
So
oh, he's so locked in.
What a tactician.
Kershaw's ready to go.
Yeah.
First thing he
Sleepless.
Did when he landed in Boston was go to the bullpen. Well, that certainly didn't prepare him for what was coming his way.
There were no
what?
People there
he
that
didn't
day.
See the seats 4 feet next to him when he visited the bullpen?
Yeah.
You know, look at him out there. He's so ready to go. Yeah, he couldn't handle the fans telling me he was going to suck that night.
Too
he
close.
couldn't take that. And now he's got his bullpen. He's got his pitching coach all upset with him, who's a former major leaguer. Oh, it's just brutal. I can't believe baseball would allow this.
Really, what
allow
they,
what? What are they? What do they do to you?
You went to the same high school as Angie Harmon?
They throw things at you? Yeah. Did they threaten physical violence? Were you ever endangered?
No.
You just don't like people telling you mean things. That's all you can't handle it out there, Kershaw. Can't handle it. Too close.
Too close.
In 2007, 2008, 2009, somewhere there, they wanted to expand the bullpens because they wanted to put extra seats out there. But there's all sorts of
historic
blue laws out there. They can't expand their own park because of the landmark status.
Because they wanted the landmark status for all the tax breaks.
Right. So they want it both ways. So now they want to expand to add seats out there, but they need a reason, and it's the safety of the bullpen.
Bullpen safety.
So they sent Tito to talk to some blue ribbon commission, like some woman at a panel in City Hall. And Tito's like, I don't want to do this. Like Lucchino's like, yeah, just go down there, tell them for safety, we got to make them bigger. You know, and you know they'll go for that. So Tito goes down. He's talking about the double barrel action, how close everybody is to everybody, and like they need to make more space out there. It's a safety issue. And this woman goes, I'm not buying that. You guys just want to expand the ballpark. He says, request denied. And Tito comes back to Larry and he says, yeah, Larry, they said no. You know, they know what you're up to here. And he says, but Larry, what about the safety? Like, yeah, well, they'll figure it out.
Well, what about my guys? Ah, whatever. I don't care. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just be careful. You know? Be careful.
So and like you say, Honeycutt, he's been pitching forever.
What a waste, though. Yeah. This thing about him going to the bullpen to really visualize things and know what he's going to be dealing with.
He was all sleeveless. He would look like an NFL guy.
What was the point of that? What, you didn't factor in that the seats are right there? Well, there's going to be people in them when the game's real.
Yeah.
What a waste of time that was.
You are right, B.
Overplayed, stupid story about how he went to the bullpen. Well, guess what? It's the same bullpen last night that you visited when you first landed in Boston. Clayton couldn't cut it.
And a great crowd last night.
Cut it.
A great crowd.
They weren't ready for this. They weren't ready to play here.
No.
They weren't ready for the weather. They weren't ready for anything to do with playing in Boston against the Red Sox last night.
I think the Yaz first pitch intimidated him, too.
He had to do it twice.
Yeah, he had a do-over. It was good. I like that. He wasn't happy with the first one. Give me that ball back.
I can't say I've ever seen that, but I respect the hell out of it. Like, no, we're going to have to do that again. That thing was bad.
What's the next thing you
hear? He's almost 80, isn't he?
Yeah. The next sound you hear is the tire screeching on Van Ness Street. Yeah, it's heading Route 1 north.
Out of there.
Boom.
Was it you that wrote the story?
I admire that.
He just, he about him, how he leaves and all that. That was right?
It doesn't mean any harm by it. He just doesn't want to be around it. He knows what he gets in there, and he is.
He doesn't give a bleep.
No.
And I know some people that have done some marketing stuff with him, and he's used some of their things, and he just leaves it as it is. Like, bleep you. I'm not going to take care of it.
He's
here
the
it
best.
Is. Give you a thing back.
He's the best. Yeah. He's his own man.
Cars.
You know. Yeah, we were going to do a book once, and he turned it down. He just didn't want to, because they wanted an appearance
Krusty,
in New York.
Krusty.
He said, I won't go to New York for $1 million. He just wasn't doing
it. I will.
Good for him. I know. Right?
Man who has principles.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
like not that. Doing that.
Yeah. Just going
to take your book and shove it.
Be fishing in the Merrimack River. That's it. See you later.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Let's get some of your calls here to start the hour. Joe and Revere on Andrew Benintendi last night, who had four hits.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, Joe.
How are you?
Good.
Every guy in Revere is named Joe.
How you doing, Beto?
Good, Joe. You?
Where's my man Zoe? He's on
here
today.
He's
Joey.
Here. Oh, hey Zoe! I love that last call. Let's go home. That was awesome.
That's right.
I love that.
Let's just get on a plane and go home.
I love that.
Thanks,
that was
Joe.
Awesome. And you are exactly right. Let's get the hell out of here.
I call like I see it, Joe.
Hey, you're the best. I love listening to you.
Thanks,
but Fred Attendi, you got to give that kid does everything. He catches. He runs. He does it all.
Got those little arms, too.
He doesn't get the props that he should get.
At least a two-tool player. With the catching and the running.
Four-tool.
He's unbelievable. The kid catches everything, and he hits. And he hits off a Kershaw.
He's a good runner, too, Joe.
He can't hit that guy.
He can run. He can pick them little feet up and run.
And I'll tell you right now, watch out for Price tonight. He got that win under his belt. He's going to be money tonight.
Joe's all right, Joe.
You know what I liked about Benintendi last night? He was the first to admit it's like, yeah, I got lucky on a couple of those.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to pump him up after his four-hit game, and he said, yeah, it was about
his walk-off interview?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I lucked out on a couple of those. Like, good. All right. You get it.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's the same either way.
Yeah.
He's always like that.
And his single, what was it, the first? Should he have been on second base?
Oh,
No, but they shouldn't have thrown home. They should have thrown home the Mookie.
Would Puig have the hero throw?
Yeah. They shouldn't have thrown home the Mookie. They should have let Mookie go home. He's going to score there and then make sure Benintendi stayed on first. He got the second on the throw to Mookie at home. Smart.
Am I thinking of the right inning?
What did he first inning.
Beetle, I think he did get to second on the
What am I thinking of?
When Puig tried to be the hero.
You think about the one
they tried to gun Mookie down at home. That was a real late throw.
Yeah, went through Puig. The left fielder's, went underneath the left fielder.
Yes.
That's
what inning was that?
That was like later.
Fourth inning?
No, it was a little later than that.
It's all running together with these late nights, right?
But they had two run fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was slow getting out of the box, and he rounded.
Which is weird for him. That's not something you usually see from him.
Yeah, the ball went off the end of the bat. He thought it was going to get caught. Looked like he jogged to first.
Yes.
And he didn't hustle to first.
He would have.
He should have been on
third inning. One out of third.
He
would have gotten to second standing up.
I think he lost front of the ball.
And then he was out on a fielder's choice. When Pierce was at the plate, right?
Yes.
And we were thinking I was thinking at the time, and Jim and I were texting, I'm like, he should have been on second base and they don't run into this
crappy
situation.
Hustle. Crappy hustle by him. But he lost flight of the ball. I think he thought he was going to be flying out.
Oh, he thought he was.
He couldn't see the ball. The ball went off the end of the bat. It tailed off weird.
Yeah, he didn't get out of the box well on that one. But I'll tell you, he is a well-rounded player.
He's a good baseball player.
Like, if you wanted to tell your kids how to play, just look at that guy. Just watch Andrew Benintendi and play like him.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I would do.
He's becoming a better outfielder. He's been overrated defensively, but he's now coming into that rating. He's starting to play like it.
617-779-0985. We'll get to more of your calls with Dan Shaughnessy on the World Series. Red Sox getting ready for Game 2 with David Price tonight. More on that next.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I really don't care if they second guess me. You know, I prepare. We prepare as a group, and you make decisions. You know, and honestly, when I'm done here, I shower, I get on that car, I might get a text and say, go to the pharmacy and get some diapers for the kids. So, I mean, that's first guessing and second guessing over there. So, I mean, it's a game, man. I enjoy it. I know that we're in the spotlight here. Managers, there's a lot of shows now at night, and they're gonna dissect every move. I was part of that, so I learned those 4 years working for ESPN taught me a lot. Being around Buster and Timmy and all those guys, you know, I learned a lot. So I know it's gonna sound bad, but I really don't care if they second guess me.
Alex Cora doesn't care if he's second guessed. I don't know what we're going to second guess him on. What are we second guessing him on right now?
It's nice to say that because
you're more of a theory. He was just talking theoretically.
Yeah.
Well, no one's been second guessing.
Dan, he can't pull the I pay no attention to the media thing, though. He can't
now because of the David Price thing.
Right, last week.
Or how about game two when everybody counted us out against the Yankees? Right. Y'all did, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Or the MLB thing, like Beatles said, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
But. There's no second guessing going on right now.
No.
None.
When there is.
Midas touch.
There won't be.
All gold. Sorry, I know that makes you upset, Zo.
What?
That too many people have said everything he touches turns to gold.
Like you're like Byron Barnett.
Dean is in Shrewsbury. Dean, you there?
Hey, Dean.
Dean is not there.
Next guy.
Boom. Tom in Marshfield. You there?
Yeah, I'm here, Zo.
Yeah, Las Vegas. What's up?
Sorry, Dino.
What's
nothing
up?
Personal. What's going on, Joe?
What's up, Marshfield?
We went to the game last night. We were in right field. The place is absolutely electric. I'm telling you right now, the L.A. fans are absolutely pathetic. They were gutless just like their team.
It's L.A.
Did not show up.
What do you think
the
they
Red
are?
Sox put on a clinic last night. It was unbelievable. Kershaw is a gutless bum. This series is over in three more games. Break out the broomsticks. Also, shout out to Keith Folk. Saw him at Fenway Johnny's last night. Super good guy. Talked to him for like 5 minutes. Great guy.
Sweet.
My friend Tom wants to say something, too.
What's up, Tom?
Okay. Paulie is in the truck. He's up next.
I have one more thing about the Dodger fans.
Hold on.
About the Dodger fans. Because of the cramped clubhouse at Fenway in 1912, visitors' clubhouse.
They complaining about that, too?
Well, The post-game interviews, I mean, there's a million media people, and it's a small room.
That's a bitch.
So
that's a bitch.
They're doing them outside on the dugout. So if you stick around, you can yell at Manny Machado. And people were doing that last night because they have to come out.
Oh, that's not right. All right, that I will actually target right. them on. Yeah. That's not right. Why are they doing it out there because and not on the concourse?
Well, they would be less exposed if... Because there's a gate back there where they could have them in a more private area under the stands. You're right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you know this, if you've ever been to a concert at Fenway Park,
yep.
and you're on the field, you actually have the chance to walk by the visiting clubhouse, and they open it up so you can continue to walk down that hallway, Dan,
right.
and walk from basically third base underneath the stands all the way out to left field.
Right.
So what they could do is just curtain off
Yes.
that hallway there
with the Yankees,
and use that. I feel like they've done that
for other
times.
They did it with the Yankees. They pulled guys into that area.
Oh, they did,
yes.
into that area.
Because of the roof.
Oh, that's brutal that they're making them go back out there.
They're up there in front on the, you know, on the warning track or whatever you call it, in front of the dugout. They're on the dirt area there with the media. And any fans who stick around, I mean, and want to yell at them, I think, I'm not sure if they're bouncing them out of there, but last night they were doing it.
Oh, wow.
Yelling at Machado.
That's not good. Paulie, what do you have for us?
Hey, I hope you guys weren't cutting into my call time there now because I got a couple
of calls. No, that was on me. It was my call.
Yeah, you're right. Because you know what, Paul? You've been so deprived of call time on this show. We never give you any time, do you? I mean, we give you more time than anybody.
Never get enough time. Anyway, so this team can't get to the quarterback. Lawrence Taylor's not walking through that door. There's nobody out there on the street, wherever, that wants to be traded. They can't cover. There's an opportunity to get half a loaf, and half a loaf is better than none. Got to get Peterson up at all costs. They got to bring him in here. Every time a quarterback drops back to pass, I'm ready to have a heart attack because these guys, this defense can't stop the nosebleed. They really can't.
Subject line said Red Sox pitching.
That's what I thought.
Sneaky. Stuck that in.
I think Gilmore could give you three innings tonight.
Yeah?
Yeah. Bring in Rowe for the lefty-lefty matchup. Yeah.
James in Abington on Chris Sale last night. Hi, James.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
First-time caller. Just want to let you guys know you guys do a great job over there. Love listening in the morning. Let's talk about Sale, though. He had a great performance last night. Went four innings, I think eight strikeouts. Correct me if I'm wrong. But he showed presence on the mound. He had a prowess out there. And, I don't know. Belly button ring didn't do anything to influence that, that's for sure.
Yeah, so you're happy with four innings out of your starter?
Yeah, and the World Series, absolutely.
Dan, do you like where baseball's heading? The way the pitchers are being managed now?
Dreadful. It's just making it unwatchable.
It's almost like David Price will never opt out because who's gonna say, come here and pitch seven innings?
They can say what they want. I mean, again, we've had these games during the year where it's a 2-1 game and one team uses seven pitches, the other team uses six. It's all the analytics and it's the matchups and it's the lefty-righty thing. But it's making it, you know, skull imploding. It's not good. It's not good for the game.
I mean, and you keep bitching about pace of play, too. But this isn't really one where you crack and say, well, it took 4 hours, 4.5. This is the World Series, so you deal with it in these situations. But and they're not really managing this way during the year.
It's almost like, let's
get to the playoffs.
It's coming.
And it's not about innings. And we joke about it here. How many outs, right? You got to get nine more outs. You got to get you're managing 27 outs. Yeah. Well, how many outs?
Yeah,
it's about outs and not innings, right?
You talk about stuff like the pitch clock and all these other issues that are affecting the game, stepping out of the batter's box.
This is it.
You know, when you use 13, 14 pitchers between the two teams like they did last night, that's what
plus the mound
time.
Visits, plus the other mound visits.
And the mound visits. Yes. Because all those guys are going to get their mound visits at some point.
The game ended at 12:03, and that's never a good thing.
Not a good thing, but actually, I was pleasantly surprised that it was done in less than 4 hours.
That's where we are.
Yeah, that's where we are now. They've got me numbed to the point where if a postseason game takes less than 4 hours, I'm like, oh, that's not so bad.
Right. And the Red Sox play, their lineup doesn't strike out as much as that. They're more old school putting the ball in play. That's good. The National League playoff, that series with Milwaukee and Dodgers, it was all strikeouts and homers. And again, that's the stuff that they need to figure out because it's not good.
What was it? A total of 10 pitching changes in last night's game? I think it was 10 was the number.
Let me get my handy dandy.
We laughed at the number 7 yesterday. We're doing the over-under. Pitches in a game. They used 7 last night, the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's given up 4 runs. Yeah. Just hold this
look
up.
Look at you.
Who uses
ruffling,
this anymore?
Ruffling.
What the hell is this thing?
Seven for the Red Sox. Only five, so it's 12 pitchers altogether.
12.
Yeah, 12 pitchers. But you don't count the first two. Those aren't changes.
Right.
So that's 10
nine.
Altogether.
Very good. Yeah. 10 relievers.
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's
right there, everybody.
Using it. Thanks, Dan. time of game last year for Game 1 of the World Series, which they referenced last night because last year Game 1 was 103 degrees outside in
LA. I was there. It was boiling.
When the Dodgers beat the Astros. Do you know the time of game in that game?
It was long.
No, it wasn't.
It was short?
It was short.
seemed long.
2 hours and 28
Ooh.
Minutes.
Oh, my God. Game one. Give me that.
Verlander
3-1 win.
Verlander.
It was a matchup of Dallas Keuchel and Clayton Kershaw.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
That's what you had.
Yeah.
That's a hockey game.
That didn't continue. They weren't all like that.
No, I'm just telling you, game one a year ago, it was 228. So it can be done. It can be done. But to the point of there's too many pitching changes, each team only had two relievers.
Yeah.
Kershaw went Kershaw went seven full. Keuchel went 6 2/3. Yeah. Each team went with two relievers.
Like an old-time baseball game.
So they only made four pitching changes instead of 10.
Last night's game was long with Sale moving quickly in the first four innings.
And he was
flying.
Now
we have Price tonight.
He was moving. Now your Price is going to sit there. Take the deep breath, Dan.
It's going to be cold.
Look at the sky. Yeah. Tug on the arm a little bit. Blow on the hands tonight because it's going to be cold. And, you know, he's got that circulation thing that's been plaguing him his entire life. Are we going to hear about that after the game tonight? Are we going to hear about the warrior that he is to overcome those issues in such cold weather?
Yeah, you were so good at calling Price's last start in Game 5 against
Houston.
Yeah,
why don't you call
tonight? What's it going to be tonight?
I still think he's going to pitch well. I mean, again, the way this is trending with the relief pitchers and the overdoing of analytics and the bullpenning and all that, nobody goes 6 or 7. And they don't need him to do it as much tonight as they did in that game. It was a house money game. But I think he'll give you a good 5. I do. Which these days, you know. I didn't consider Sale that a great outing last night. 4 innings. You know, three earned runs in 4 innings.
He had extra rest, too. You're getting the ball game one of the World Series.
Yeah,
Go out there. It's going to sound crazy. Go out there and pitch 5 full innings.
Yeah, something wrong.
How about that?
He's not the same
guy. How about that? 5
innings.
Yeah. Not 6. What are you, Superman? No, I wouldn't expect you to go 6. How about 5?
Yeah.
No.
They don't want the third time of the lineup coming up. It's all the analytics and all that stuff.
Dan, do you have any second guesses about the Dodgers manager, Dave Roberts?
I'd have to go back and look. There was sometimes, I think
I'll tell you what. Yeah. Let's collect our thoughts on
you
this.
Got something
because
on that?
They are second guessing him in LA too.
Good.
All right. You don't have to go over there right now.
Rugged LA media. Way to go.
Yeah, there is second guessing of Dave
Crack
Roberts going
on. Okay.
We will get to that after these headlines with Hardy.
Good.
Sports Hub headlines.
Sounds great to match up in the box.
Yeah, match up in the box. Get it all.
What's
going
that matchup
down
like?
There? Well,
who's
tell you,
two people in the box?
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you two
what
guys
you
are
in the box?
Going to be on the mound tonight. Hyun-Jin Ryu from the Dodgers. He gets the ball for the Dodgers in Game 2 of the World Series opposite David Price, as we were just talking to Dan Shaughnessy about. After the Sox got the 8-4 win last night, good offense for manager Alex Cora.
With some good at-bats. Good at-bats together from the first at-bat, and we put pressure on them. And that's what we do. We stay off the edges of the strike zone. We attack pitches in the middle of the zone, and we did an outstanding job offensively.
And attack those pitches with two outs. Again, some more big two-out scoring last night for the Red Sox, who have scored half of their postseason runs with two outs. How about that? Bruins got a win in Ottawa 4-1 last night. Tomorrow night, they're home to take on the Flyers. The Celtics also have the night off. They take on the Thunder in Oklahoma City tomorrow night.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm telling you, Alex Cora knows baseball. And I love the fact that this club has been taught baseball from spring training to now, and we're seeing it manufactured, Pedro.
More important than anything, they believe in Alex Cora and the movement he makes. Everybody is right along with whatever decision Cora wants to make. Mm-hmm. They are a team that really believe in the guidance they have from each one of the coaches.
Martinez talking about the impact of Alex Cora with his team. I don't want to continue to talk about Alex Cora at the moment. I want to talk about the guy on the other side, Dave Roberts. Got a very nice ovation when he was introduced last night.
Mass said boo his
much
ass.
To the chagrin of Tony Maserati, who was saying, don't cheer for him.
Yeah. Did he say boo Vinatieri too?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you can't say one without the other, right?
I mean, right. Did he say boo him? I don't think he said boo him.
He said, I'd boo his ass. Not Vinatieri, but Dave Roberts. Yeah. Boo his ass.
And then they did a segment on how that's an overrated steal and an overrated moment in Boston sports history.
Why?
Thanks. I don't want to get into that either, but let's talk about this. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts, this is what he's being second-guessed for, and I think it's a good second guess in last night's game. He has done a very consistent job of putting right-handed bats into the lineup once the lefties are out of the game. Did I just screw this up the way you've screwed things up here today, Dan? What did I just say?
You said righties when lefties are out of the game. And I think there was one instance where after Sale was
lefties
gone.
Lefties into the game instead of righties into the game. That's what I mean to say. Sorry. Right. Yes, it's exactly right.
So when Sale was gone, he should have gone to his lefty batters.
Right, and he started doing it. He started slowly but surely doing that in the game, except in one instance where he
didn't use Bellinger in one instance. Was that it?
No, he didn't use Max Muncy instead of David Freese.
Okay. Oh, I turned to my left. I did.
Yep. Against Barnes.
Right.
He strayed from what he normally does there.
Right.
And
why did he let Freese hit there? And it was weird because Freese was hitting
third.
It was
a one-run game at that point.
Yeah, and Freese was hitting third. I'm like, first of all, how is he in the three spot? And then, yeah, why is he hitting after they've made the pitching change?
I mean, that is a tight game, high leverage.
It's a good
important spot. They're only down by one. They've got two guys on base. There's nobody out in the inning.
Yeah.
I mean, that right there is a opportunity to strike, and he just, I don't know. I have no idea why he didn't make that move.
He had a feeling about Freese. I don't know. And I don't remember him being asked about that specifically either.
Muncy hit 21 home runs against righty pitchers this season. Sorry, 27 home runs.
Yeah.
He had 27 home runs against righties this year.
That's what he does. That's what he tries to do.
I do have the quote about what he said. He did get asked. He said, at that point, you have three guys on the bench, and you've got to figure out who in the fifth inning to deplete your entire bench.
Too early. That's what he's thinking. Too early.
Well, I like David.
It was not too early. The game was over.
Mm. I like David's at-bats. You look at Barnes, he's sort of neutral.
Yeah.
He's got a good fastball. He's got a cutter that gets lefties out. So I just felt that first and second base, you've got Machado behind him. You've got a chance to hit for the next guy after that. But in the fifth inning, you start hitting for guys, you're going to have nobody left in the game.
And it's not consistent with what did in the Milwaukee series, as I recall.
This is, again, once that lefty starter in Sale is out of the game, this is when you start doing it. And in that spot, two on, no outs, an opportunity, down one run. See, this is where I would disagree with him if he thinks it's too early. You can lose the game in the fifth inning, you know.
Oh, my God. Once it was 8-4, the game was over. It was still a game then.
What are you waiting around for that to happen? You're already trailing by a run. You can lose the game if you don't capitalize on all the opportunities you get. And with two guys on and no outs, that's a opportunity you want to maximize. That's where you want to be aggressive.
Yeah.
That's where you want to say, I'm not worried about my bench at the end of the game. Let's go for the win right now. And I think that was a missed opportunity, and that is a fair second guess of David Roberts. And then when Muncy did get into the game, he had a line drive single, first at bat when he got into the game. So easy second guess in L.A. today. You have no idea what would have happened, but you can say, hey, you didn't do everything possible to try and, you know, squeeze every last drop out of the guys on your roster. No way you can say that today. Mm. Unprepared for the game. They weren't ready for the game. Weren't ready to go, and the Red Sox are red hot right now.
They're ready.
Nothing is slowing them down. Steve in Texas on the Dodgers being unprepared. Steve.
Hey, guys. Hey, Zo.
Hi.
Thanks for taking the call.
How are you doing?
I hate the Dodgers, and I'm pleasantly surprised at how unprepared they are for this series. I couldn't believe they aren't ready to get heckled in the bullpen. I mean, come on. But, you know, when in the first inning, that second run is directly attributable to poor coaching and poor preparation. Pugh had no reason to try to throw home to get bad.
That's just what he does.
Ill-advised, I mean, stupid throw by Puig.
They're telling him. I mean, it's not like he hasn't been told. That's just the individual.
And then, you know, later on, talking about Roberts, I mean, like, what was it? I think the sixth or seventh, he had Baez in and strikes out Moreland, strikes out Bogarts, and then he lifts him and puts in Woods. So we end up with Nunez up, and Nunez cracks a home run off of him. I mean, you know, he was out of bench players in the seventh inning. He had no subs left for the eighth and ninth. And even if it was not a four-run game at that point, if it was a one-run game, he doesn't have any moves left to make. So I totally agree. He should have made a move in the fifth inning there and pinch hit to try to put the runs on the board then when he had the chance. I think they lost the game in the fifth inning.
Yeah, which is why I don't care about them not having a bench left in the eighth or ninth. Who cares about that? We play to win the game. Pedro Baez was in the game. And at that point, big righty who was throwing smoke at that point, it was blowing everybody away. If he leaves Baez in the game, he's not going to get the pinch hit from Nunez. He's going to face Devers in that spot.
He knew he was going to have Devers hitting against his lefty if he did that. So when he made the decision to take
Woods is the lefty. Devers was pulled.
I know that, but
what if he leaves a right-handed guy in there? Is
Devers is going to face him?
Devers is going to hit. That's what I just said.
So he knew Nunez was going to come in as soon as he went to the lefty.
Right. So he wanted to get the matchup with
Nunez.
He
chose that matchup.
So he chose that,
and he lost.
And he lost. And that's what happened last night.
And this is the overthinking that we pointed at the Dodgers. It's like, why not just leave Baez in there? He's pitching well. Why not just leave him in no matter if it's righty or lefty? Let's just see if he can get this one guy. And we point to it as a failing on the part of the Dodgers. But when Cora does it, it seems to work out. It's been working out for him all season, especially all postseason.
Let me ask you this. Would you have had the faith, based on what you had seen from Baez in the inning, to get Devers out?
Yes.
And I would, too. And that's what I don't understand.
But they won't do it.
But they that means they have fear. They have legitimate fear of Devers.
And he's a better hitter than Nunez.
And he is.
Yes.
He is, and that's what they look at. They say, this is where the matchups and the geeks get in the way.
Yes.
Because anyone who's just watching and absorbing what is happening says, no, Baez has it tonight. He's pitching well. We're going to leave him in there, and we're going to get him to face Devers, and I think he can get Devers out because he's pitching well. But the geeks say, you've got a chance to bring in a lefty, and they'll go to Nunez. And they look at it instead of, do we want to face Nunez or Devers, instead of taking in real-world observations of Baez has got it tonight.
Yeah. But what's your feel?
That's where the geeks get in the...
But we've seen real-world observations ignored by the Red Sox this postseason. Who was it in the Houston series who was having just a tremendous inning? Was it Barnes or somebody just like out of the blue? It's like, leave him in. Let him go another inning.
No, it was Brazier. They lifted Brazier, right?
I don't know.
I thought it was a starter. I think it was Brazier, but whoever
it was. It was Cruz, and they took him out.
But it wasn't a starter. It was definitely a reliever. It was
Kelly,
Kelly
had a lights-out performance.
I don't think it was Kelly
I think it was Brazier.
Okay, but whatever.
Whatever.
It's happened a couple of times, and it works. For the Red Sox, it's been working. So I agree with you, Beetle. And Dan, I know you feel this way, that, you know, the statisticians get in the way of just real-world observations sometimes, except when it works out, and it's been working out for the Red Sox. Because I think if... I'm sorry, Zoe. We need to take a break.
I just came out. What? It was on a roll.
Nothing.
You're on a roll, man.
No, it's fine. We'll step aside.
You'll find out who that was.
All right, we'll wrap things up with Dan Shaughnessy with Dan States next.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
October 24th is the date. Dan's here to tell us what happened on this day in history.
I love October.
Of course you do.
It's good round number two, 24.
Damp.
So people were born on October 24th. Bill Wyman, the bass player for the Rolling Stones. How old do you think he is, Hardy?
872.
75.
He's 82.
Wow.
Yeah, I think his wife's younger than that.
Five.
Kevin Klein is 71 today. Seth Moulton is
71.
40. Yeah, Kevin Klein.
Wow.
Yeah, like him. Good.
He's a good actor.
Okay, Drake.
Yeah.
How old do you think Drake is?
I'm going to go with 28.
30.
32.
Ooh, Drake's getting up there, huh?
Gold medal gymnast Kayla Ross is 22. And this is like a Boston anomaly. Rafael Devers and Jaylen Brown both turned 22 today. It's kind of cool.
Two young phenoms.
I like that. People died on this day. Rosa Parks died on this day. That's unfortunate. That was 2005. Bats Domino died on this day in 2017.
Why wouldn't it be unfortunate when somebody dies? I mean, you don't even have to preface it.
That's true. It goes without saying.
What a great day. What a great day of death.
Fats Domino living until last year. I mean, you would have thought Fats Domino.
No way.
Yeah. That's what he just said.
You serious?
He
found this through on Blueberry Hill.
He sure did, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they thought they lost him in Katrina, but then he's surfaced.
Floated right up to the surface.
Lived to the age of 89.
Literally surfaced.
What's that thing floating there? That's Domino. That's not Domino. A whale.
No.
Let's bring him in.
They couldn't find him for like weeks, and then he appeared. So, yeah, that's a true fact.
You floating.
Okay. Okay, where do you go from there? Okay, stuff that happened on this date, October 24th.
Yep.
The George Washington Bridge opened in 1931. Anybody ever been over that?
Was there traffic nightmare that day, too?
imagine being on that sucker when Sully Sullenberger took that left and hooked it right down to Hudson and seen that good plane. It was like 100 feet over that bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I saw the movie. It's right there.
In the movie.
In 1952, Dwight Eisenhower declared that he was going to Korea to end the conflict, which is also known as the Korean War. The Cuban Missile Crisis basically wrapped up on this date in 1962. It was like an 8 or 9 day
13
event.
Days.
We're 13 days. Thank you. 13 days in October.
Hello.
There you go.
It's a movie.
Nice round number.
It's the name of movies, books.
Ordering
13
of the,
days.
The quarantine went into effect on this date in 1962 to avert nuclear war. On this date in 2002, anybody remember those guys shooting up people in Maryland?
The guy was in the trunk.
It was a white van.
DC sniper
just riding around.
Yeah.
Yep. And it was Northern Virginia too.
That's now 15 years ago.
Wow.
It doesn't seem that long ago.
I remember that being the trunk of a car too, Beetle.
Yeah, it was.
No, I thought it was a white van. Was it a white?
I thought it was a van.
No, the guy was in the trunk of the car.
So it's
here's a picture of the back end of the car in the courtroom. So, trunk of the car. There's the trunk.
We were all looking out for white vans. That's all I remember.
You think an OJ?
Lee Boyd Malvo and John Allen Muhammad.
Beltway snipers.
They were sentenced to death and they were executed in 2009.
Both of them.
Take that.
I remember the shit.
Well, Malvo got life without the possibility of parole. Muhammad was sentenced to death and executed in 2009.
Mm.
And on this date in 1972, Jackie Robinson died. It was 9 days after he had thrown out the first pitch in the Cincinnati World Series. And that... Oh, wait. A couple other baseball things, because the World Series is, of course, going on. There was this date in 2012 that your friend, Pablo Sandoval, hit 3 home runs against the Detroit Tigers in a single World Series
game. Pablo was good.
And I think that's when the Red Sox said, you know, we got to get that guy.
He's so marketable.
And they did. On this date in 2000 was when Roger Clemens flung the sharded bat, the piece of Mike Piazza's bat. He fired it at him.
Here, take this back at you.
Psycho.
18 years ago.
That's when you're all roided up, man. Just throwing stuff. Rage.
And on this date, on this date in 2007, Dustin Pedroia opened the World Series with a home run.
Remember that?
Off Jeff Francis. And the Red Sox won that game 13-1.
It was 20 years ago.
When the World Series moved to Colorado, they wouldn't let Pedroia into the clubhouse
because
he looked like a little kid. And he said, go down and ask Jeff Francis who I am with some bad language.
Oh, one of the greatest lines ever.
It was one of the great things. I'll tell you who I am. I'm the guy that and used some bad words.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Francis, take that.
It's a good one.
Okay, October 24, there you have it.
That's it?
That's all I got.
Hardy?
There are some baseball ones. Yeah. Jim just told me that. What was it, a week delay on that then, Jim?
1989, Game 3 was finally played after a week's-long delay.
I had long left after that. I stayed like 4 days. I couldn't go on. Expense account was rolling up.
Baseball history?
Yeah.
You have our Lord, 1908. Baseball's anthem, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, is introduced by the songwriting team of Albert von Tilzer and Jack Norworth, who created the immortal tune, and they had never seen a game. Wow. How about that?
How do they know about the penis and Cracker Jack?
The what in Cracker Jack?
The what? The penis?
Penis and Cracker Jack.
The penis and what?
Peanuts.
Peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Peanuts.
Oh, clean it up, so.
thought you were like some new Justin Timberlake thing. Like, hey, look what's in the box.
Okay, then.
I have nothing.
24 October, 1911. The World Series is resumed after 6 days of rain. The A's, behind the pitching of Chief Bender, beat the Giants and Christy Mathewson 4-2 to give Philadelphia a 3-1 game lead in the Fall Classic.
I hope Chief or Christy went more than four innings in that game.
Juicy fruit.
Penis and crackers.
Buy me some.
Whoa.
I said peanuts.
Right.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, that's it.
That's it. October 24. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Very good.
Back to the World Series. See you guys next week.
See you, buddy. There's one more date for you. This was a bad, bad crash in the stock market this day 10 years ago.
Ooh. Oh, Jesus. What's with October? Yeah.
What is I know you loved it 3 minutes ago.
Well, I mean, but that's when the crashes tend to...
It's post-9/11, dude.
...tend to fall. No, but I'm talking about... The Great Depression, 1929, whatever, the Black Friday. It's always October. Not good.
I don't know.
2008. Yeah.
Not good. Markets crashed around the world on this.
All right,
day.
Guys. See ya.
Okay. See Dan.
All right, very good, Dan.
And he's out.
All right. And Shaughnessy is gone. It's 1 p.m.
Still on camera.
Yep. That's okay.
He's out.
Doesn't matter.
He'll just walk away.
It's okay.
Hey, tell Peter Gammons I said hi. Yeah, how's he doing?
Yeah, how is he doing?
You want to sit back down?
Oh, yeah. You got to answer one question.
Come here, answer something.
Is he lucid?
Will you answer one question on Peter Gammons, please?
He had a good conversation yesterday.
Did you talk to him about the tweeting?
He had a.
So he had his faculties. He had them, you know?
So he had a good day yesterday? I'm seriously, I don't even want to laugh about it.
Play the record. Play the record.
Did you ever work for the Taylors at the Globe?
Sure.
Yeah. Just thought I'd ask. You know Brad, do you know Brad Ausmus?
he's got the door open. Let
you know
him
his
go.
Cousin?
What's the deal with 1977? Yeah. Sit down.
Can you ask him that? Find out what the hell the 77
is. Do you know what 1977 is?
Nobody knows what that is.
I don't either.
No, just ask
him.
He's
smiling.
You can be the guy that breaks the story.
You can sit in Fred's chair. You can sit.
Because I don't even think he understands
that
tweet has become its own thing.
This is good. Dan's back in. He wants to get out of here.
Is this on?
Yes,
it is. That was unnecessary.
What are you talking about, 1977?
He had the tweet.
I'll pull it up.
Pull it up, because it doesn't make any sense.
So why is the Green Monster now known as Trump's Wall?
I heard about that one. Yeah. I haven't seen it. I think it's a wall effect, you know, the wall.
Here it is. Here's the tweet. Yeah. Red Sox players know Alex Bregman is like Dustin Pedroia, 1977, period.
They love to play.
What does that mean?
They die to play with him, but some Boston media get upset with him. Are they upset that his great-grandfather, a courageous immigrant, was part of the group that bought the Boston Redskins and moved them to Washington?
Yeah. No, but what is the 1977 significance?
There's a lot of dots to connect there. I'm not going to sit here and try and do that.
I know. I'm saying when you see him, ask him what that meant.
I will.
And then you can break the story as to what
maybe next week.
The 1977 reference.
I'll try to come in with
How about the photo of the Green Monster where he tweeted, is this Trump's wall?
Self-explanatory, I think.
No, it is not. It is
well, who's
so
green?
Far
what's the color green have to do with it? Is it green? It's just-